say, make sure you're in fellowship as we are progressing through the doctrine of righteousness. Here in Roman numeral 4, page 3 of our notes, we're dealing with phase 2 or experiential righteousness, which is faith plus works. Whereas phase 1, righteousness comes to us through faith apart from works, with the object of faith being the person of Jesus Christ. Phase 2, righteousness comes from our faith in Bible doctrine and application of it in our Christian life. So, subpoint G, this demands then that we are to isolate the STA through rebound and employ our bodily parts as instruments of righteousness in the angelic conflict. Romans 6, 13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to the STA or sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as weapons or instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 16, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one who you obey, either of sin resulting in death, as temporal death, for obedience resulting in righteousness. As believers, we have two potential rulers over the real you, the soul. It's either a sin nature, and you're either obedient to that, allowing its lusts and salivations to rule, which brings about, obviously, being out of fellowship or temporal death, or God the Holy Spirit being in fellowship, of which then we are qualified to apply divine good protection in our life. Verses 18 through 20, and having been freed from sin, that's why Christ went to the cross, to free us from the absolute rulership of the sin nature. You become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, it produced nothing any better than itself, the sin nature. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Being set apart to God. Phase 2, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. H, we will be persecuted for righteousness. Part of living a Christian life is enduring persecution in life because of our stand for Bible doctrine and application of it. Matthew 5:10. Believers should be made privy to this so they're not caught off balance when antagonisms come their way. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being in fellowship, employing the nature of the human spirit, righteousness and truth, brings about persecution from those of the cosmos. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. SG3, a reward, phase 3, is the harvest of personal righteousness. Being in fellowship is operating in righteousness. And the time and grade we maintain in fellowship, we are applying divine good production, and God rewards us for that. 2 Corinthians 9. 9 and 10. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. This looks at the believer applying Bible doctrine and the grace giving here in this particular example. His righteousness, which is his application to doctrine, in fellowship abides forever. Now he, God, who supplies or underwrites seed to the sower and bread for food, he is our ultimate source of wealth and well-being and life and the things we receive. Will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness to those who are properly oriented in regards to the application of giving. God will continue to bless that individual in that pursuit of application. So J, a wreath or crown of righteousness is for those who finish their course, to hang in there, holding to the end. We will have the ultimate prize, the wreath, which represents the righteousness that wheat embraced and applied during our Christian lives. 2 Timothy 4:8. The preemptive application to bring about the promise that Paul talks about is verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith, maintained its integrity in regards to his NPR application of doctrine. In the future, there is reserved for me the wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Love, looking at the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and expectation and application of Bible doctrine. And K, experiential righteousness is an evidence of salvation. When we get in fellowship, we apply Bible doctrine, pursuing God's holiness, his righteousness. We evidence the new creatures that we are. 1 John 2:29, that we are believers, we are saved. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who does righteousness is born of him. The witness of the life is evidence of our salvation. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 10. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness, which starts obviously at salvation, phase 1, is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. That's application of doctrine, phase 2. So L, experiential righteousness, is holy behavior, which we are commanded to be holy as he is holy. We saw that 1 Peter 1:15. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you will be holy, for I am holy. And that emphasizes the righteousness of God and how we are to pursue it in our own Christian life. All right, Roman numeral 5. Now some things that can be said about the righteous, the believer, both positionally and or experientially, what we do in life. The Lord approves the way of the righteous. He is with the righteous, and he watches over them. Psalm 1:6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 14:5. Verse 4, do all the workers of wickedness not know? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? Do not call upon the Lord. The negative antagonism against polyvolition believers. There they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. And then Psalm 34:15. eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. He pays close attention to those who are His, and especially those who are applying His Word. And His ears are open to their cry. He will hear our prayers when we face the tribulations of living in Satan's world. So the Lord approves the way of the righteousness. He's with them and He watches over them. We have special protection from God in the angelic conflict in this respect. So B, their path grows brighter and brighter. Time and grade in doctrine and application of doctrine as one is edified or built up in spiritual growth. Their insight, etc., clarity of thinking and God's plan for the life becomes more and more obvious. Proverbs 4:18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. This is wisdom. And happy are all who hold her fast. Plus age that is attributed to orientation to Bible doctrine. See, they have a refuge in death. Proverbs 14:32. The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies. Comfort and consolation of God and fellowship facing the very potential of death in and of itself, knowing that God is with them and will not abandon their souls. Psalm 10:25. About that. Toss that one out. D, God hears their prayer. Back to Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. As we went through that under reversion recovery, things of this nature, getting back in fellowship, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. A righteous man praying on behalf of a believer seeking to make spiritual recovery. As he intercedes under intercessory prayer. God again loves the righteous. Psalm 146:8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. F, God delivers the righteous. Psalm 31:1. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. 37:39, which I've written out, that the salvation or deliverance of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Proverbs 11:8-9. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. 12:13. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, caught in their lies, things of this nature. But the righteous will escape from trouble. The 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, a fortress for defense, his reputation. The righteous man, the righteous runs into it and is safe. Finding his security in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine in his life. G, God provides the righteous with basic living grace. For the believer to fulfill God's plan for their life. He provides that which is necessary to sustain them physically as well as spiritually. Living grace can have spiritual implications associated with it. Proverbs 10:3, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. Doesn't mean that someone may not have a living grace test. But to starve to death is the emphasis. At 13:25, righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the stomach of the wicked is in want. Not all wicked, but some. Psalm 37:16, better is a little of the righteous than the abundance of the wicked. H, God rewards and blesses the righteous according to their righteousness. Psalm 18:20, the Lord will reward. The Hebrew word is gamal, G-A-M-A-L, which means to deal, to ripen, denotes maturity adjustment and divine good production, bearing fruit. The Lord will reward me according to my righteousness. That's the intake and application of Bible doctrine. According to the cleanliness of my hands, that's the time and fellowship associated with one's application of doctrine. He will cause to recompense me, that term is shub, S-H-U-B, to return, pay back what is due. Okay. Paying you for your divine gift production. I, God blesses the righteous with various blessings. Again, Proverbs 10:6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. God tends to grease their skids, so to speak, in regards to what they do in life. Then we have specific examples, such as the blessing of life itself. Verse 16, the wages of the righteous is life. Obviously, that would extend into eternal life. The income of the wicked, punishment. Wealth itself, 15:6. Much wealth is in the house of the righteous. The troubles in the income of the wicked. Reward in time, 11:31. If the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner living in Satan's domain and his regime? And God still blesses and rewards the adjusted righteous believer. But even more so, you can expect the wicked to have access to things, being a part of Satan's world. So, reward in time. Our legitimate desires granted, 10:24. What the wicked fears will come upon him. And the desire of the righteous will be granted. Legitimate desires, obviously, in line and in tune with God's niche for our lives. Our home life, marital, family life, 3:33. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. In their relationship with one another, etc. Psalm 118:15. The sound of joyful shouting and deliverance is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of God does valiantly. I saw that earlier. One's memory is blessed. Proverbs 10:7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Alzheimer's, dementia, in regards to people that get older. If you're adjusted to Bible doctrine, God will tend to bless your brain computer and even your recall. People look at all these things as, you know, just some type of phenomenon that's going on in people's lives. How many of them take it and actually see it in the spiritual light which is presented? God cursing people. And these types of ailments, obviously, we live in a time where we are privy of all these things in a grand scale, but obviously very prevalent. People getting old and they can't remember. That would be a really drag to have to leave this world in that kind of condition and not have the recall doctrine and the enjoyment and of life, of living the Christian life. Well, let everybody die and let God sort it out, I guess. All right, Jay, some other things that are characteristic of the righteous. One, the righteous expresses divine viewpoint. This list gives you, you know, obviously the criteria necessary to apply righteousness. And it begins, obviously, with divine viewpoint, Psalm 37:30, an attribute, evidence of righteousness. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. That's divine viewpoint. And his tongue speaks justice. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, with wise counsel as well as edification for further positive volition. The fools die for lack of understanding. What a way to look at life. Negative go out of this world, they die for a lack of understanding. That is a rejection of doctrine. Let's see. Lost my place. Good humor and I'll lose my place. 31. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. People are positive and adjusted to doctrine. Their speech is constantly tempered with doctrine. It's saturated with it. They expect when they're around like-minded believers that people will take within this doctrine perspective for the very intent of which it's delivered. But the perverted tongue will be cut out. It'll, sooner or later, everybody will have to answer. And sooner or later, human viewpoint will cease for everyone. And then verse 32, the lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted, that which is distorted in regards to God's plan. Two, the righteous gives thanks, obviously. We would assume that as a given. Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. Three, he ponders how to answer. wisdom. With wisdom comes consideration and discernment. And it's not always a knee-jerk reaction in regards to trying to provide counsel to others, to think and pray about things, etc. Proverbs 15:28. Some things are straightforward. Proverbs 15:28, but they will always take it and bounce it off the doctrine of their soul for the appropriate answer. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And the human viewpoint, trying to smooth things over or giving counsel according to human viewpoint standards, the righteous constantly checks it with doctrine in their thinking. What's the proper, appropriate application of doctrine in this particular situation, see, or applications, as it may be. He is a guide to others. Someone you can depend upon, talk about things, need some guidance, some insight, additional insight. But it's the righteous, the one who makes Bible doctrine their lives. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. 5, his thoughts are just. 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Six, hates falsehood. Proverbs 13:5. Righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. 7, his concern for the rights of the poor, those underprivileged or oppressed in life, often brings out righteous indignation. 29:7. The righteous concern for the rights of the poor, that they have equal rights in regards to defense of themselves and things of this nature. Money should not be that which concerns or determines, you know, court evaluations like it is in our society. You got the bucks, you get the court to go any way you want, generally speaking, unless you happen to run across one person that happens to have righteous standards, a judge. If you find one, let me know. We'll celebrate. The wicked does not understand such concern. They're out there. It just doesn't seem to make the news very often, does it? That's not entertaining to the cosmos. Somebody did something right. Saturate them with everything that's evil. 8, he rejoices when justice is executed. Finds happiness in God's word fulfilled in regards to when God judges evil, rightfully so. Proverbs 21:15. The execution of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror to the workers of iniquity. Have their bleeding hearts try that one on for size when they execute somebody for heinous crimes. It doesn't mean that you're getting your jollies over the individual getting killed. It's just seeing God's word executed appropriately. Getting that STA, that kind of STA, out of our society. 9, the righteous gives abundantly. They apply at a high level in regards to application of giving and helping others. Proverbs 21:26. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. That's in contrast to the evil, lazy, slovenly, sluggard types. Psalm 37:21. The The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. Ten, the righteous becomes wiser and wiser. Again, the impact of doctrine, the edification process of the believer growing up spiritually, their frame of reference, further insight in regards to things. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. 11, the righteous displays courage. Proverbs 28:1. In the face of adversity, etc., they will maintain their integrity and stand for that which is right. 28:1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. 12. The righteous has regard for the well-being of his beast. Don't starve your dog. Proverbs 12:10. The righteous man has regard for the life of his beast, but the compassion of the wicked is cruel. Being good stewards of God's creation. Beasts of burdens, obviously a lot of that has to do with people in those times, their living grace. But to treat God's creation appropriately. Get a dog, it's your responsibility to take care of it. It's amazing how you have to remind people a dog can't feed itself. You have to give it its food and water. I'm reminding myself. 13, his way is smooth. God tends to grease the skids of the righteous. Again, it doesn't mean that people won't have tests. And we've got to keep this all in proper perspective and balance. Isaiah 26:7. The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. And obviously, 14, the righteous lives by faith. Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Alright, we'll go ahead and stop it here. And we'll let everyone get in their proper places so we can observe the Lord's table this morning. Salo, also known as the Eucharist, is one of two rituals that are prescribed for believers living in the church age dispensation. The first, as we know, is water baptism. That ritual is applied one time by the believer. However, the Lord's table is to be done on a continuous basis, as Jesus Christ himself so taught. Do this, keep on doing this in remembrance of me. It is referred to as the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. It is a time of which we as believers, in our assembled capacity, take to contemplate in thanksgiving in regards to the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross, providing us with our so great salvation. It has two elements which are symbolic, and it has two actions associated with the elements. The elements, the bread and the cup, symbolize the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, with emphasis on his humanity. Eating and drinking represents faith, the necessity of the individual having faith in Christ for their so great salvation. And obviously this is all important, and observance of this ritual is that which qualifies the believer to engage in this ritual. Otherwise, one is engaging in ritual without reality. And in addition to being believers, but as a prerequisite, we're strongly encouraged and exhorted by Paul in Corinthians to make sure that you're in fellowship when you partake of these elements, because otherwise, out of fellowship, observance of this ritual essentially denies, disregards what Jesus Christ really did do on the cross, and that was conquer the power and authority of our STA over our lives so that we can actually pursue the doctrine that we're studying at this point in time in Bible class, the doctrine of righteousness. It's our custom for everyone to withhold the bread until all have been served. Emphasizes the person of Jesus Christ, especially with regards to his humanity. There's two characteristics associated to this bread that we partake of this morning in its symbolic ritual, and that is, first and foremost, it is unleavened. That denotes that Jesus Christ in his humanity had absolutely no sin, no personal sin ever accounted towards him. In fact, is he came into this world apart from having or possessing a sin nature, and that through his complete obedience to the truth of Bible doctrine, maintained a state of absolute righteousness throughout the entirety of his life, therefore qualifying his body to be the substitute, a substance of which unrighteousness would be judged in, for forgiveness of the sins of mankind. And that is the aspect of the fact that the bread is broken. And that is that judgment did come literally into his body in regards to his person. Christ is described physically after his work on the cross of being barely recognizable in form because of the punishment of God imputing into his body as for sins are judged throughout this time. And therefore, his body looks at the righteous substance that he provided in bodily form for the judgment of the sins of mankind for our so great salvation. And on the same night that he was betrayed, he broke the bread, and having given thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me." Father, again, we thank you for all that you have provided through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in regards to our so great salvation. And we ask that you continue to bless us in our thinking, in remembrance and thanksgiving in regards to his person as we continue in this ritual. In Jesus' name, amen. It's also our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. Emphasis on Jesus Christ's efficacious work on the cross, in which his body he took on the judgment of sins, and it emphasizes, if you will, the blood of Christ, the spiritual death that he underwent in association with sins being judged in his body. Jesus Christ went to the cross at 9 in the morning and hung there for approximately 6 hours. At noon, with the bringing on of darkness upon the land, it marked this time as it started from there until 3 o'clock, approximately that afternoon, of which time the sins of mankind were poured out in his body, and he indeed was judged, and that is his efficacious work on the cross. All the suffering that he endured up until that point in time is simply suffering brought on by men, and obviously while it is still in complete compliance with God's will for his life, did not do anything to remove the sin barrier. But it specifically those 3 hours when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he ended with, it is finished, that sin bearing occurred. And as we have seen in the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ not only took into, assumed in his body or took on in his body the sins of mankind in judgment, physical judgment, but he also underwent spiritual death, and he gave up in ransom for our own minus R, the plus R of his human spirit. And that is to coin a debt that was paid to God so that we, in one spirit with him, could possess plus R, being set apart to the truth of Bible doctrine, and had eternal life. And likewise, after they had eaten, he took the cup, and having given thanks, said, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Father, we ask you to continue to bless us with insight into the truth of your word and understanding of the things of your plan. We ask you to bless us in the things we do, maintaining fellowship with you and application of your word in our Christian lives, bringing us all back safe and sound for our next scheduled Bible class. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll sing our song, whatever number that was.